to the Joy Prime Studios for our audience who are joining us for the Joy News National Dialogue on repealing that airline that allows for mining in forest reserves. Go live now.
Very good evening to you, our cherished viewers. Welcome to the Joy News Dialogue. Greetings from the heart of Accra, where we are reminding you again that the fight is on against illegal mining. My name is Blessed Sovan. Tonight, I have a host of individuals who also care about the environment, just as you do here on Joy News and across the country, as we're, of course, holding yet another crucial conversation on a piece of legislation that many see as a hurdle to that fight against illegal mining, and that's the LI 2462, for which we're holding this national dialogue in partnership with the Nature Development Foundation, and they are partners helping us to shape that discourse as we go in depth on that regulatory piece of document that has got the nation talking and calling for an executive action, a political will to change the course of this country and to protect our future. It's the reason for which we have assembled by far the best brains and regulatory agencies to have a conversation in what we call the Joy News National Dialogue. And once again, we welcome all of you watching us from home, online, and here in studio. If you're excited to be a part of it, please a round of applause as we open this conversation for tonight. And once again, I will just say that my name is Blair Soga, and of course, I would have to tell you about those helping us to do this conversation tonight, because you need to know about them. Engineer Michael Sando is Director of Mining at the Environmental Protection Authority, and now they are an authority, so we know that by law, they have the power to act. And we're grateful, sir, that you're joining us here on the Joy News channel, also on Joy 99.7 FM, and also Joy Prime, where we're shaping the discourse. And it's already starting, so if you want to be a part of the conversation, all you can do now is to take up your mobile phone while you're watching us on television or on social media, also on YouTube at Joy News on YouTube. Then you can, of course, share your comments in the course of the conversation. I'll come to my audience in studio and also get to hear from you, those who are doing the watching and the listening. So it's a good time to also tell you next about a good friend who's joining us in studio, Daryl Boso. He needs no introduction, because ever since we started this fight against illegal mining, he's been at the forefront as well. And Daryl, I will celebrate you and say thank you for joining the conversation and making time out of your busy schedule to be with us. He's the Deputy Coordinator for Arocha Ghana, joining us here. And Arocha Ghana is also an environmental group leading that fight against illegal mining. Then we have Erastus Asare Donkor. If you don't know about him by now, I know him as a colleague. In the course of the conversation, when he begins to speak about practically what he's been seeing on grounds, and of course, the things that he's been revealing about this whole illegal mining menace, then you get to know why he needs to be celebrated. And of course, the nation has celebrated him. We as journalists have celebrated him. Tonight he's joining the conversation. And Erastus, I say thank you for joining us. But we can't do without our partners tonight, because they are very, very crucial in what we're doing here. And just before I get to them, I need to also talk about Climate Voices. Indeed, they are supporting the conversation tonight. Josephine Agbenye is also joining us. Thank you so much for spending some time with us to also share your views with us as we go on with the conversation. But don't forget that Nature and Development Foundation is helping us to really unpack this LI 2462 that we're talking about. And many of you would want to know in depth about, first of all, the regulation, what has been changed, what has been amended, and they are helping us do this, and that's why, of course, we need to give a special mention to them. And we're fortunate to have Mustafa Seydou, who is joining us from the Nature and Development Foundation. Mustafa, thank you for, first of all, supporting Joy News and also opening up this discourse, because without you, without your support, we will not be able to assemble all of these fine people that we're seeing here who, by the way, have done a great job in the fight against illegal mining. What is your take also on the fight against illegal mining? What would you want the government to take up? Because the president has also served his 120 days, and instrumental to that is also a promise to deal with illegal mining. And that's why we're having this conversation. So it's just the start of the conversation. If you're happy to be a part of it, just stay with us briefly. We'll return, get into the conversation, and you'd get to know how serious this matter is. This is the Joy News Dialogue. I am Bessie Sugan. Just stay with us. We'll be right back.
Promise to ban illegal and new mining activities in forest reserves and roll out our Tree for Life and Blue Water initiatives to heal and sustainably harness our environment. Concerning the ban on mining in forest reserves, on March 20th, 2025, a legislative instrument, LI-2462, was presented to Parliament to amend the Environmental Protection Mining in Forest Reserves Regulation. This amendment removes the President's power to grant approval for mining in forest reserves. I plan also to amend the Minerals and Mining Act 2003, Act 703, to completely prohibit mining in forest reserves. This would effectively, meticulously, legally, and entirely ban mining in our forest reserves.
On 20th March, he sat in Parliament and witnessed the laying of LI-2462. Which seeks to remove the power that allows the president to grant concessions into forest reserves. Indeed, the Attorney General proposes that there's a more robust way to do this by amending the Minerals and Mining Act, Act 703, to completely prohibit forest reserves as places where you can mine. So there's robust legislative work going on to ensure that this promise that President Mahama has made comes to fruition. Again, Evans, the Tree for Life initiative, on 21st March, I was with the president in Kumasi, in the Ashanti region, to launch it, where we expect to use afforestation or reforestation as a way of safeguarding the environment. The Blue Water initiative, you've seen 2,000 young men and women clad in yellow and black uniforms who have been recruited. Now, people erroneously think that these are people who are going to face off with the armed bandits operating in the forest. No, that's what they are going to do. They are going to be around the water bodies to help with fact-finding and getting in touch with appropriate authorities to respond to persons who seek to degrade the environment. So all these things have been done. And yet, Sami is here saying that it has not been done. In fact, they recall one of the first steps we took when we came into power was that we revoked all mining leases that we believe were granted irregularly. You recall that directive. That was a first step towards ensuring that people don't secure these leases and misuse them. Again, governmental complicity in Galamsey, which was one of the reasons why they could not fight it, is no longer the case. Why? We know about the original chairman and women organizers and
other. We've also had accusations.
Yes, but this is something I can assure you, but Obama has made it clear that you cannot use the name of the MDC or membership of SIN as reason why you go into that. The matter that he refers to in respect of some people who purported to be using national security as a conduit to do this, six people have been arrested in that respect. Indeed, only yesterday, I was at the German embassy And I know the fact that as we speak, 71 people are in the groups of the law for engaging Galamsey. 150 excavators and other equipment, including pump action guns, have been confiscated by the state. When we were in power, the last time excavators were used, they did not develop wings and fly. So there is a marked departure from what you used to obtain. Of course, nobody said anyway. But Raman never ascribed a timeline for dealing with Galamsey. He never said he would get rid of Galamsey in 4 months. Because we all know that it's an insidious problem that has gone on for years.
Except that because it's 120 days, it's ban illegal.
Of course, but that, and activities but that has been done. He has done what he needs to do.
The issue there is, how do you ban an illegality? The illegality is an illegality.
No, but the point is that you need legislation to strengthen your ability to deal with.
We haven't seen any legislation.
But the legislation, the airline has been amended. It's in Parliament. 20th March, it was what? He was there. If I'm not telling
okay.
you, see. And then I also told you that when Parliament comes back,
So that's Government Communications Minister Felix Fusukwachi. And earlier you heard from the President himself laying out what his plan and commitment to the people of Ghana is when it comes to illegal mining. And more specifically, the LI-2462. It's evident that government acknowledges there's a challenge once we still have this legislative piece not dealt with. And that's why we're happy to be partnering the Nature and Development Foundation, because you know, even as a lawyer, much more about the potential weaknesses that we would have as a country to fight illegal mining if we still have this law in place. But explain to us, first of all, why you're concerned about this as the Nature and Development Foundation, and what potentially this law is doing or undoing to us when it comes to the fight against illegal mining.
Thank you, Blessed. As a country, we are blessed to have natural resources which are sources of economic development. Popularly, we say resources are not, they become. So that if you have the knowledge and able to extract the resources properly and use them responsibly, we will have a good means of developing this country. However, and I say it's not everywhere that we can mine. One of the areas that is designated to protect, provide the climate we need for our cocoa, the water protection, is a forest reserve. This law, as it is, permits mining in all forest reserves except GSBAs. And if you put all those exceptions in sub-regulation one, the probably amount to less than 10% of our forest reserve. Which means that every other place, without any exception, in the forest reserve can be mined. That is a recipe for disaster. Because if you have all your forest reserve being candidate for mining, we as Nature and Development Foundation think that, you know, that is something that is actually going to destroy us, our sources of water. Mm-hmm. I think that as a country, one of the things everybody see and can feel tangibly is the water bodies, right? If you go and you're driving, you see how muddy the water has become. That's what strikes you. And then you look at it and you say, wow. And the reason why I say that is that almost every water source in this country takes its source from the water reserve, a forest reserve. So if every forest reserve is a candidate mining site, then what we are saying is that all the source waters are a potential polluting areas.
Have you taken notice of, you know, the attempts made to, first of all, amend this piece of legislation?
Yeah. I think that is a good step for the president and the government to say we want to do something about it. But what they've done, and I heard the Minister for Government Communication mention, is to take away the power of the president to even mine in GSBAs. That's a good step. However, if we stop with that alone, it probably will be saving less than 10% of all the forest reserve. Because that power the president has to authorize mining is only in respect of GSBAs. But the problem with this law, the law doesn't mention that you can mine in forest reserve. But there's something in law which says that if you take the pain to lease what cannot be done, It means that whatever you did not mention can be done. So if you look at Revelation 3, it says these are the exceptions, these are the areas you cannot mine in forest reserve. What it means is that any other thing that is not mentioned there can be mined. Mm-hmm. So that's waiting that more can be done. It cannot just be that small area mm-hmm. without restriction. And I strongly believe that mining in forest reserves should be the exception, should not be the norm. Because, and the reason is that there are some companies that have been there for probably 2 decades or something like that. Mm. So that will be the exception, because it will be contractually very difficult to remove them, because they've been there and they have acquired some rights, which some other people, third parties, have relied on. So it becomes very difficult to remove them. But you can't make a law that says that, except blah, 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 those people who are there, no other mining is going to take in forest reserve. So if you look at this law, and then I have looked at this several times, there are some aspects of it which are okay, because if you look at the measures, the mitigation measures that are put in place, that's fine. Because even without it, the guideline that came before this law already meets those provisions. Again, there's another aspect that deals with the management of the 0.6%. In fact, the larger part of this law is dedicated to managing 0.6% of the proceeds from mining in forest reserve. I think that's one of the significant part of it. Because before this law, even though that money was being collected, there was no regulation, there was no hard law on how that money was being managed. Mm. So a lot of even though I must admit there's a lot of committees which are fine and necessary, there's a lot of committees that have been established to manage that money. And if I mentioned, there are about five, also, you have a steering committee, you have finance subcommittee, you have a liaison group, you have a communication subgroup, you have a procurement subgroup, you have three other subgroups. And I think that with a fund of 0.6% and you have all of these groups, it's a lot of dissipation of the resources. Yeah. You know, so that's another part that I think needs to be looked at properly.
Yeah.
And the worst part, if you look at the offense, because a law is not a law if there are no consequences for breaking the law. Guess what? The consequences of breaking this law is only 3,000 Ghana cedis.
Really?
That is peanut for any miner, not even a galamsey.
Just 3,000 Ghana cedis.
It's 200, the maximum is 250, no more than 250 penalty units.
Right.
A penalty unit is 12 cedis. Mm. Multiply 250 by 12. It's 3,000 Ghana cedis. That is the offense for breaking the law, or going for imprisonment. Of course, that's the same opportunity, or both. But the majority of times, if the crime is not so grievous to the eyes or to the hand of the judge, well, it will probably give you the option of paying a fine.
Yeah.
And the fine is 3,000. We think that this law needs to be relooked at. If there should be a deterrence, in fact, even the exception that we see, that exception that you cannot mine in this exception areas, the offense is 3,000 for breaching the law.
You know what, Sebo, you've just opened up the whole law, dissected the critical areas that needs reform. But more importantly, we all agree in this room that a lot more needs to be done. And you've set the ball rolling for us. Fortunately, in the last few minutes, we've had more friends joining the conversation. Delaydom is, corporate communications manager, I believe, at the Minerals Commission. Thank you so much for also joining the conversation tonight. And then there are those who are connecting virtually. Awolasawa is with the Eco-Conscious Citizens joining us via Zoom as well. So we're grateful to the two of you for also joining the conversation. Daryl Bosu has been looking at the political commitment, what it is that has been promised, because whether we like it or not, illegal mining, galamsey issues became topical in the run-up to the 2024 elections. What was promised? And I want to ask you that, Daryl, before we come to Erastus, who's been our eye on the ground, to give us a perfect picture of what the status is in terms of our river bodies and what we're discovering in terms of illegal mining. Then we'll do another round of, thought-provoking issues that also bother your minds on the ally. But, Daryl, the commitment, what was said to us, because the president revisited that last night, saying, of course, this is my commitment, this is what I promised to do,
And the government communications minister says it's not a promise to with a timeline. You've heard all of that. So what was really promised the people of Ghana?
Okay, thank you very much. To talk about what was promised, let me first remind all of us about certain profound statements also that His Excellency the President made during the round of going around the country, campaigning, and all of that. And I think in one of them, I remember him saying that when we think about our forest reserves, these are forest reserves that have been standing for centuries. And so it makes no sense that we take steps now as a result of some financial justification to mow them down because of minerals. And rightly so also because if you look at all the policy frameworks that exist in this country, from as far back as 1999, if you take a look at the Ghana's Forest and Wildlife Policy 2012, if you take a look at Ghana's Forest Strategic Plan, Master Plan, and all of that, whether from 2020 to 2036, it's all talked about gradually and consistently excluding mining from all our forest reserves. So if the president is acknowledging the role of forest reserves, and for which reason it was a key campaign message during the 2024 elections, it's for us also in order, and also in support of long-held policy and also national consensus that our forest reserve must be protected, not only for our needs today, but also for future generations. And some of the promises he made, if you look at his commitment and policies to address galamsey and all of that, on various platforms, we did talk about banning illegal mining, banning mining in forest reserves. And if you look at his 120-day social contract, item 19, it's very clear they're banning illegal mining in forest reserves, as well as banning new mining activities in forest reserves. This, for me, are the...
So there was indeed a specific promise on that?
Those were his specific promises. But that is not to say that he didn't make other pronouncements as well. And like I said, where he recognizes the role of forest reserves, this tells you that he has some sort of connection to our forest reserve, aside exactly what he put. And besides, let's not forget that this was for actions he was going to take within 120 days. But there is also the other years that he has for his tenure for him to work. So if you look at it in that sense, then he was more telling us that he is a president that's going to be committed to securing our forest reserves, not only for just 4 months, but also looking beyond, and also looking into...
But on that specific question about the political promise, does the amendment make up for the promise 19 in the 120-day social pact, ban mining in all forms within forest reserves?
Well, you see, that amendment coming from the government, as it is for us, is a total departure, and actually completely shocking. Because when we were on the streets, when we were everywhere campaigning and engaging through policy frameworks and dialogues, they were with us, standing with us, and rallying behind us and moving with us on the call to actually repeal this LI. Countless occasions, on record. So for them to turn around and make certain excuses, I see them as excuses to amend, does not really satisfy the postcard promise that was made. We have seen that there are some nuances that is emerging, and I think I must say that we are suspecting that those nuances and possibly the fact that somebody is concerned that because at the time they were then the chairpersons of the committee that really passed the LI, now that they are in government, they don't want to see that LI go and say, it's okay, you knew this, so why are you now saying it should go? That means you didn't know what you were doing. So these are some of the issues, and I'm saying that, look, you might ignore some of these nuances, but they also have a role to play. And this, like I said, is a big departure from what they promised in terms of repealing their lives. So the amendment for us does not satisfy, and I know what has been said about it having some good provisions. Now, we need to be clear about the point that we have not said that everything about that LI is bad, but to just go ahead and make an amendment to just a section, Regulation 3.2, does not cure the mischief that exposes all our forest reserves to access for mining interests.
I see. And this is what I also need to point out, and it explains why the likes of our own colleague, Pierre Koubi, and the others have led this spirited fight in the last few days, calling on the government to do something about illegal mining. That's instructive. And if you don't believe the story out there, there's one man here who's been to the grounds. In fact, to date, he still keeps us a sense of what's happening in terms of the, dire consequences of these illegal mining activities on our environment. And Erastus, good to have you with us, because paint that picture for us. Then we get to regulation and what's been happening, right? Because we need to check this. What's happening as of today, if someone asks you about your status in terms of illegal mining?
Well, I heard the president talk about reclaiming 7 out of 9. Mm-hmm. And I have said it time and time and again, and I've told the minister and other people that don't let us go there. It's very dangerous to start assigning how many we have reclaimed and all that when we all know that the situation on the ground is not like that. He talked about 9 forest reserves. There are more than that. In fact, forests that came under siege between 2023, 2024, coming in, we can talk about Jimira, Jimira Extension, Subri, where we have Abuwa and Minkai pitched in there. We have Boyne Tunnel, Boyne River, Tama Nimri, Kokusia Forest Reserve, Tama Nia, Ofin Shelter Belt. Apamprama has already gotten 50% of it, now Pit Sengalis. So already 50%, the size of Kumasi, the whole Kumasi, is gone, Pit Sengalis. We have Asanano. Asanano was destroyed, and then they reclaimed and they planted citronella trees. They grew very fine, and then they gave it back to another company, Edel Metallum, and they destroyed a large part of it. As we speak, there are people in there mining. Draw River. Well, somebody wanted to invade that. We went there at Jura Banso, and we put it under the spotlight. They were withdrawn. So I would say that Draw River is largely unscathed. New South and other areas. So I have mentioned about 11 or 12 of them. None of these is totally ridden off illegal miners.
150 excavators the communications minister talks about.
Well, I must also admit that some work has been done in many of the forest reserves I have mentioned here. Jimira Extension, they've done a lot of raids in that forest. As we speak, another group has entered. In fact, just before we came in here, the Forestry Commission was requesting for men to be able to flush them out. We can talk about Tamania, where there have been series of invasions, raids by government in that portion of the forest. A large part of it has been destroyed. Occasionally, you find people getting in there with excavators, and then they drive them out. But I would say largely, Tamania, there has been a lot of work in there. So I would say that it's fairly controlled now. Ofin Shelter Belt, Apinkuru section, there were people in there as at 3 weeks ago. So there's been that back and forth. You flash them out, they come back. And my problem is, how do they get in the first place? Because excavators are not matchbox that you can put in your pocket and enter a forest reserve and start mining. Definitely when they are entering, you see them.
Yeah.
So how can we prevent rather than allow them to go in and then we spend money to go in there and fight them? We talk about Abuwa and Minkra, Subri Forest Reserve, where the soldiers raided recently. Mm-hmm. I am getting concrete information on the ground that the miners are back. Some of them, they've taken portions of it and they are mining. Tano Nimri, the IGP has done a good job over there. In fact, as we speak, the men are still there doing surgical operations deep into the forest. They've arrested quite a number of people, seized a number of excavators. So I would say that kudos to the lands minister and the IGP for that work. They are still there. They are still doing a lot of work in that area. And they have also evacuated all the people along the Tano River in Atala, Datano, Hiampenika, all close to Samaboy. In that area. So it's fairly good over there, but it's not totally out of the woods.
Okay, so Erastus, tell us, what difference will it make if we have this LI entirely repealed as compared to, you know, the amendments that, that we've just seen? Because you've seen firsthand the effects of mining on the environment, specifically within this community.
In fact, before we came in here, I was telling Daro, we were having a conversation that repealing this LI without the requisite enforcement, strict enforcement of the laws, we'll be back to zero. Mind you, all these areas I have mentioned, the invasion of all these forests, we are not talking about legal mining in those forests. We're talking about illegality.
Yes, yes.
All these invasions are illegal. They don't have any license. They just want to go in there with excavators and destroy the forest for gold. And many of them, the gold goes directly into their individual pockets. The nation doesn't benefit from it. We don't get taxes. We get nothing. And they leave the liabilities, the pits and gullies. And do you know how much it costs to reclaim an acre of land?
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And you will not even get it back to its original state. It will take years to bring it back. And so it doesn't benefit anybody if we allow people to go in there. If we repeal the law today and we are not able to enforce the law very well and prevent the illegalities that are coming in, we are back to square one.
There's the investor sentiment aspect, which of course that argument has emanated from the Chamber of Mines. Of course, just a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to leading members of that chamber. I'll bring that to the fore shortly. But all you're doing now also brings to the fore the global context and how we've made commitments to our nationally determined contribution when it comes to climate issues and all of that. Josephine, you're equally concerned about that in the civil space. How does this paint Ghana in the sight of the world? Are we going to be applauded? Certainly, I don't believe that looking at the pictures, there's anything to comment about the country.
We might be commended on other issues. Most certainly regarding invasion of our forests, emissions related to mining, illegal mining in our forests. I'm very hesitant to say whether or not there will be any commendations. People have said a lot that the introduction of this LI has been a response to various inconsistencies when it comes to how we're managing our forests, how we're managing our forest reserves, but also how we're conducting mining. And if you ask me, the meeting point of this LI and the already existing illegal mining situation within our country and within our forests and our rural communities already paints this picture where it raises issues related to environmental stewardship, but also climate justice, because we then start thinking about, well, who are the people who are impacted? And we know that those who are most impacted by this issue or the outcomes of these of the cases of these mining situations in forests are not the ones that are causing the most harm. And so people in our rural communities are faced with the most brunt of climate challenges related to this, but there are also capital interests that collect all the gains from this mining, and these are gains that do not support our collective prosperity as a country.
Yeah, and I just want to pick up on, you know, the capital interest. Obviously, that sentiment has been thrown around by the private interest, and we need to decouple this. Then there's illegal mining, even as we are going into this whole conversation of illegal mining, which we need to clearly differentiate. But that's why I want to hear from the EPA on this, because, Engineer Michael, you know firsthand how these institutions operate, especially in the private mining firms, and the other ones partly who play a role in certifying them. But we have them in the forest reserves as well. So how do you justify all of that?
I would just put it into context.
Yeah.
You know, this law, it has been misconstrued.
You think so?
Yes. I blame us because we didn't do enough education on it.
Right.
Yes, there are some aspects of it that, like Arucha is saying anything. But this law was made after 20 years of watching mining in the forest, legalized mining in the forest reserves. I mean, I'll just give you the context. In the 90s, we had 30 companies that were giving exploration permits to do exploration in the forest by the Forest Commission. Then 1996, 1997, the then the late President Rawlings through certain things, said, look, let's stall this. But most of them had advanced. They have sunk in money doing exploration.
Yeah.
So they came back, and so in 1997, they had to reopen the context for them to go back and mine. And so out of the 30, 17 were given a chance to go back and do the exploration. This, out of the 17, five of them had gotten to the stage where they found commercial quantities of gold, which were economic value to mine. And so as a nation, what do we do? And so in 2001, when President Adekunle Akufo came to power, we were faced as a nation. Some of them have sunk in as much as $80 million. Are we ready to pay judgment debt if we allow them to enter the forest and do exploration? And so a five-member cabinet committee was set up to look around and see what can be done. And so that came up that, look, those five companies must be given a chance to enter the forest and buy. And these are legalized mines I'm talking about. And based on that, in 2001 May, we prepared some guidelines after visiting countries where mining is done in foreign reserves, like Australia, like South Africa, the richest being, and then even Brazil. You know, that's money taking place in the Amazon forest in Djibouti by Alcoa of America. You know, so based on that, then we said, okay, as a country, what do? So we needed to do the cost-benefit analysis. And there are documents to that.
And in these countries, apologies, but in these countries that you visited, you want to compare their level of regulation to ours?
No, let me come. So we did prepare some guidelines to that effect, to enable the five companies enter. And they really did. And we regulated them very, very well. Mm-hmm. But under the guidelines, and like Sylvie said, there were certain things that we brought in the guidelines which were not by law, administratively, like the 0.6 extra royalties that was going to be used to develop the communities that are around the forest, like the Luzon group to monitor mining in forest reserves. There was, I mean,
yeah, a more direct question about the regulation.
Yes,
you admit that comparatively. We haven't done well in terms of regulation as compared to these countries.
The regulation was taken out from after we reviewed the guidelines after 20 years of work with it.
Right.
And so based on the review, it came out that, look, let's put in a list. Because somebody can come and say, look, this is a guideline, I may not follow.
Daryl doesn't seem to agree with you on that.
No. This is a guideline, so I may not follow.
Daryl?
So,
yeah, briefly, then I come back to you.
I think let's get the history and the facts straight. We were part of processes from 2016 up to 2019
yes.
to review the guidelines.
Yes.
The purpose of that engagement was to make it even more stringent, like you said.
Yes.
Even with the five mining companies that were active, there were still lapses in the processes. So the process, the whole idea of reviewing was to make it more stringent even for those who are operating, and even for future interest in mining. 2019, we're part of the process. In Kumasi, that's where the meeting happened. And we agreed over there that we were going to maintain the very provisions as was in the guideline, which also included a 2% limitation for all production. Right after we finished that meeting, we left that meeting with the agreement and consensus that the 2% limitation was going to be in place. I mean, fast forward that 2019 to 2022, when the law was actually passed, CSS got to know about a law allowing mining in forests in 2023.
Yeah. So this is the
point.
It is not that law that allowed mining in forest reserves. Already, forest reserves will be mined. The forest reserve that we have. That we permitted, like the Supuma Sherpa Belt Forest Reserve, the Tadosro, the Ajimua, where Newmont is now mining, Upon Mansi Forest Reserve, the Tano Ofin Forest Reserve, Atiwa. I mean, those are Okay, Atiwa was doing for digging for it. No, not mining. I mean, just for exploration. But the one that active mining is taking place is Tano's Road and Tano Extension by.
I was going to ask you that.
And then Ajinib for Nimon. Yakumbo Forest is for limestone in the
Bukit. If I talk about the Atiwa Forest Reserve.
In fact, I was just going to ask you that in the wake of, you know, the crisis, would your work not be made much more easier if you have this whole entire region?
No, we have seen the legislation
totally repealed.
It is not the entire. So maybe let's go back and look at the.
Yeah, but you have a lot now, given the crisis, the point is that
we need to have a law.
Mm.
And so that is how come. Maybe like there were a few hitches and here and there.
Yeah.
But we really need a law to ensure that.
Yeah.
Mining the forest reserves is, and that is, this is just for the management of the environmental aspects of mining the forest reserves. The actual granting of a lease to enter the forest and mine is done by the Minerals Commission under the Act 703.
Yeah.
If the lease is not granted, the EPA cannot say, we are going to give you an environmental permit to go and mine this.
So do you agree with him on that?
No, I do. But what I want to mention is that, yes, you are right. It's not. I agree that it's not everything that is bad here, but lapses. And one of the key part is the Regulation 3. Like I said, there's no direct mention that this law allows mining in forest reserve by implication. And I say that the people who drafted it, very clever lawyers, is that when you mention what cannot be done, the implication is that what is not mentioned can be done. Period. And that's why the president said that we amend at 703 to ban mining in forest reserve completely. Because this is a subsidiary legislation, if that is done, it means that Regulation 3 here, which will permit mining in forest reserve,
will
be non-existent.
Yeah, yes.
Because the parent law would have taken over.
Mm.
And this cannot be inconsistent with the parent law. So that is gratifying. I just hope that it is carried out. Mm. If it is carried out,
okay. So it's about the
whole thing. It's parent act, the EPA act.
Yeah, but any other act, which is this one, is inconsistent with it will take.
Okay, so a lot of questions, obviously, for you, Deraiden, and you should be preparing to, you know, give us the status where we are now, because the president made that clear commitment. But let's bring in Awolasa, who's joining us virtually as well. Then I come to Deraiden about, you know, the journey and the commitment that the president has made in terms of the Act 703, because that's crucial. You are the ones granting the lease for mining to take place in the forest reserve. You've listened to us all throughout. I'm wondering what your take is, specifically on the aspect of the law as well, and the fact that we have clever lawyers, as you're describing them, who, you know, formulated all of this. What do you think about that?
And what I would say is that moving forward, as has already been said, the president assured us in a run-up to the election that LI 2462 was going to be revoked. He did not mention amendment, he said revoked. So I think that in fairness to Ghanaians, the president should apologize for the name of an amendment rather than a revocation. And I believe that LI 2462 should be revoked. We don't need state-sponsored mining in forest reserves. I do accept that revoking LI 2462 is not the end of the story. Of course not. Of course it's not the end of illegal mining. But however, it shows goodwill, it shows good faith, and then we take it from there. Revoke it completely, and then have a very good discussion with clever lawyers. And there are people up to the task in the studio right now. We have very good lawyers in the studio. We have our brother Darrell, who's very well versed in the law. And then we can have a proper regulation. But in the meantime, LI 2462 should be revoked. And let me be clear here that saying things like banning illegal mining is not something we should be saying. Something that is criminal, that is illegal, is not banned. It's already illegal. What we need to do is to just enforce the law. That's all we need to do. So we shouldn't really be talking about banning an activity that's already criminal. We should be talking about enforcing the laws and ensuring that the criminality ceases.
How much time do you feel this government has? In less than 120 days, we've seen some civil action. A number of people on the streets asking the government to deal with illegal mining. And that was construed to be a political exercise. But the fact is that our environment is being destroyed. So does government have that laxity in your view?
Well, I think that there's a lot that is happening that is simply disingenuous. I mean, the environmental terrorism has been going on for a long time. In 2017, the former president put his presidency on the line, and we can all see that things went from bad to worse. Certain organizations have now suddenly found their voice. There's environmental terrorism going on. There's a war that has been declared. Even in wartime, when you poison water bodies, it's a war crime. Our water bodies are being poisoned. I think all Ghanaians should realize that there's a war going on. The house is burning, and we should insist the president does the right thing, and all encourage him, all fall behind him. This is not the time for petty differences and demonstrations that are clearly, in some cases, political. We need to understand that the house is burning. The window of opportunity is fast closing. Our brother in Rastas has been doing brilliant reporting, so we know what is going on. We need to understand that if we believe that we are dealing with environmental terrorists, then what do? We need the army to fight them. You can't fight environmental terrorists with blue water guards. But once the president is taking the right robust step, we should all fall behind him. In wartime, you forget about your petty differences and you get behind the leader. But of course, the leader should take the right steps. Nobody expected him to end illegal mining in 4 months, but we did expect him to keep to his word and to have revoked LI-2462 by now. We shouldn't have been wasting so much energy in ensuring that LI-2462 was going to be revoked. We should be concentrated on other things, such as perhaps the state of emergency. And also, at this stage, we should also be looking at EI-144, which was an executive instrument, the declassification of parts of Achimota Forest. If we are thinking of planting trees for life, we're thinking of our forest reserves, we cannot have EI-144, which is declassifying parts of Achimota Forest, the lungs of Accra. So we need to focus on EI-144, which the president doesn't need parliament to revoke. He can revoke it tomorrow because it was an executive instrument. So yes, the president has taken some good steps, but a lot needs to be done. We need to appreciate the fact that we are in a war situation. We have environmental terrorists who are destroying the country, poisoning our water bodies. Our food is being poisoned, rising kidney disease, maternal death, deformed babies. We cannot afford to be, engaging in petty politics. We need to get behind the president, but we should make sure that he's taking the right steps.
To be fair to the president, he spoke himself about how complex a challenge this is. Mm-hmm. And he says it's not under the impression that, you know, Ghalam Singh would end, say, in 120 days or 6 months after taking office. So that's how complex the issues are now.
You see, the issue is complex, but not at all complex. How complex would it have been to stick to your word and revoke LI-2462 as you promised? He says, I will revoke that law when I come to power. He didn't do that, so he should apologize for us for putting in an amendment. Perhaps it's because the current Attorney General chaired the committee, but for whatever reason, you have to stick to your word so that you inspire confidence. So nobody is saying that illegal mining can be solved in 4 months or 120 days. But what we are saying is that a low-hanging fruit like LI-2462 should have been revoked by now. And we shouldn't be spending so much energy on it. We should be spending energies on what are the next steps. State of emergency. Our brother has told us that you said you cleared 7 out of 9 forest reserves. That is not actually the case. I'm sure efforts were made, but in some cases, they've gone back. So it's something that we want to win the war. There have been battles, some won, some lost, but you have to keep on till the war is lost. So we have to focus on our energies on winning the war. We have to accept that we have environmental terrorists. So to deal with terrorists, you need to have your army coming in and deal with them robustly, take the right steps.
This is what I need to say, Well, for the president, he doesn't seem to be interested in the low-hanging fruits, as you're referring to it. He wants to use perhaps a cherry picker and to go in for the Act 703. So let me come to Delaidem, because you would have that arduous task of trying to sanitize the system, right? There's the issue about those who've invested heavily, and we've heard from Engineer Michael on that, in the forest reserves already. how to deal with them, and even permitting new ones as well coming into the forest reserves. First of all, tell us about the status, where we are now in that approach to either amend, repeal, revoke, either LI 2462 or the Act 703. Which of them are you taking first?
Okay. I'll handle both.
Oh, I see.
Let me see this. We are talking about amendment or revocation of LI 2462. Amendments. The law says that you can go to a forest and mine. And that is what the president has an unfettered access to, or to grant you that permission to do that. Amendment says you cannot go there anymore. It solves the problem. But then we have a minister who has come out openly to say, we will revoke the law totally when Parliament reconvenes. And so that itself is an assurance, and it shows greater political will by the government.
The president can no longer authorize new ones.
Yes.
But there's pre-existing activity going on.
Yes. And so that is where Erasmus says we should enforce the laws. So the repeal of the law, even if you repeal the law and still you don't enforce regulations, you cannot deal with the illegal mining. Mm-hmm. So there is a whole thing. Somebody sat down, planned, and decided that we are enacting a law that gives the president the permission to grant people access to a forest reserve we have kept for 68 years. Mm-hmm. The forest is a reserve that we have kept for 68 years. The president had that opportunity or the access to give people. So whoever, people enacted this law, and here today we seem to be rather focusing on repeal, which could take a week or two or 21 days. But somebody sat down and planned this wicked act and said,
okay, perhaps you're going into the blame game now.
No, it's not a blame game.
I need to do this before we get to
it
that.
It is not a blame game.
If you're watching us now, I'm just told that Joy Prime has been activated. This is a Joy News National Dialogue on the repeal of the LI 2462, which grants powers to the president. No longer the case, actually, to mine in forest reserves. But civil society wants this actually gone, and that's why we're opening this up for a conversation. We're live on Joy 99.7 FM on the Joy News channel, now on Joy Prime. And if you're joining us, feel free to share your comments with us. You had Delaydem stoking the debate already about looking at where it's all starting. But does that really matter? Particularly, I need to also acknowledge the Nature and Development Foundation who are helping us do the conversation. When they say, of course, you've heard Sebu advance that point already, that it would do us a great joy if you just... It's that easy, isn't it?
Yes.
What else will the Minister for Environment
and then Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, they've started greater stakeholder engagement already, the two of them. Mm-hmm. And then the minister went ahead and announced that the president has directed them that they should repeal the law. Now, if you're a president who says, I have enormous power to do this, but take away that power from me, that itself shows greater political will on the side of the president. Yeah. So at least we should sympathize with him that this is a president who has directed the ministers to repeal it. But it must go through a process. It will go through a process.
Can I ask you a question? What more will it take the president to just say, this is over, we can't have this?
It will have to go through Parliament again.
Yeah, but you could have done that in the first 120 days when you had all the energy activating all the processes to say, we're amending. Because it takes a lot of energy to
see the law as it is, when you read, I think my brother is holding one, when you read it, the forestry commissions, for instance, thinks that the repeal of the law will affect their job. The forestry commission, they really know. When you amend,
you can't speak for them.
There are people who are saying, you just take away that law that grants people the permission to go to the forest. Mm. Take it away and allow the other laws to stay. Yeah. And that is what I think that the EPA officer is trying to say. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, the president has directed there has been a little delay, but he has directed. It means he has shown political will that it must be removed or it must be repealed.
What are the timelines? Everyone sitting here is waiting for the timelines. We've never had a timeline, actually.
No, I don't think that he has given a timeline. And then when the minister held the press conference here, so it could be, like I'm saying, there is a greater stakeholder engagement. If you repeal Act 703, it takes away everything, everybody moving away from the forest reserve.
Well, with the Minerals Commission, I'm asking what timeline you're working with.
We cannot place any timelines or give any timelines. And I think that this should be the responsibility of the Minister for Environment or Minister for Lands and Natural Resources. And very soon, when Parliament reconvenes, they will come out within the 21 days.
Okay, well, we're just dealing with the data of how much more mining leases were authorized in the last few days of the Akufo-Addo administration. And I recall having a conversation with Daryl and Co. where we're taking a cursory look at the new and piling, ever-increasing number of applications for people to mine. So on your desk now, you have a lot of applications and more even coming, more would want to go into or near these areas that we claim are no-go areas. So you have a lot more work.
Yes.
If you still have this law existing, because people would want to operate either near forest reserve, the temptation is always there.
When an individual approaches the Minerals Commission and says, I want a license to mine, mm-hmm. we are happy for that.
Mm-hmm. Because we make more money.
No. If you don't grant the person the license, he goes to do illegal things.
Mm-hmm. But illegality is illegality. Apply the law, isn't it?
Yes, you apply the law. But like we are saying here, applying the law is what has brought all of us here. There is a difficulty. Mm-hmm. You do it, you clear the people, the next day they are coming, the next day they come. And so
the Rastos is asking you why.
Pardon me. The law.
Just when you just break it.
We are regulators. We are the regulator.
Yeah, just
the enforcement of the law
you wanted to add
is the responsibility of the military and the police.
Oh, okay, hold on.
And so we, yes.
Josephine, let's hear your intervention.
So let me add 3 points here, because I think are very important in this mix of conversation. Unfortunately, you didn't give me much time to speak.
No, apologies. We're going to come to you anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
So first, just backing off a point you made around how many licenses were granted.
Yes.
There was a report out by the Ghana Institute of Foresters that said that within a year of granting, of introducing the LI, there had been about licenses granted to about 20% of forest reserves in Ghana. So this is just within a year of the introduction of the LI. Secondly, we also know that given license to formal, in quotes, mining companies does one major thing. It, of course, they have the capital, they go in with the infrastructure that is needed, clear the roads, and do everything needed to set up a place, a forest reserve for mining. Mm. What this does is that it makes it very easy for people who do not have the licenses, so to do illegal mining. And so that's one thing that we need to really consider. But even when licenses are granted, there is really no guarantee that environmental protection measures are followed by the people who actually receive those licenses. So things around water protection, biodiversity reclamation, all of those things coming together. There's no guarantee actually that there's any alignment between the environmental protection measures. Can I finish just one minute? Those measures and what actually needs to be done, which is why this conversation is really important. Yeah. And we need to start looking at it also, not just from what works from the Forestry Commission and sort of throwing this argument for repealing and revoking away, but looking at it from, well, if we do not repeal, is the Forestry Commission or the EPA capacitated enough to deal with the excesses?
Okay, so all of the points, and just for now, I'll get back to you on you know, some other aspects about the environment, but very scientific points you're raising there about what practically happens when we give more lease permissions, right? If I should call it as such, that item. Giving you the stark reality, 20% already gone.
20% of...
You just heard it, talking about the stats. 20% of our forest reserve has already gone just because when this law was active, we had increased the number of mining leases.
Yes.
You don't want to accept reality, is it? Okay. I'll come back to you, Erastus.
I want to say this. I have a problem
with the Minerals Commission, especially issuing out licenses when it cannot regulate or inspect what people do.
He says there's a difficulty. That's what he said.
So if there, let's if deal there, with the difficulty.
Why keep on issuing licenses?
Yes. Let's deal with
so
the
I have three children. I cannot take care of them. But I keep giving birth to six other children. No, it doesn't make sense.
But that's the pleasure aspect of it. Don't forget about that.
I will give you an example of what is happening in Asananya Forest Reserve. Mm. Totally illegal. Look at the way they mine the forest. You were showing pictures of it earlier on. We have not heard from the Minerals Commission on it. Have your men been there? Have they seen what is happening in there? Why haven't they been searched or their licenses been revoked or sanctions being meted out to them? They continue to mine in that reckless manner. Similarly, we have other ones you're talking about across the country. We find them every day, those who have licenses, but are doing worse things on the ground. And so to me, I don't see how complex this is. People say it's complex, it's difficult to enforce the law. We have made it so difficult to enforce the law. Somebody